This is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 119b, page 451. And we have been looking at a enumeration here in which the Tibetan is drawing conclusions about the influences he has been discussing, the influence of Capricorn, and Mercury on the human kingdom and on the individual disciple, point three, and how the disciples respond to these influences will largely be conditioned by their egoic and personal rays, and what it's easier for disciples to respond to depending upon their rays. And then we looked at two great lines of force, the 1357 and the 246, which seem to differentiate all disciples, men and nations. And we're being told that the heart center and solar plexus must be the energies to cultivate, with the solar plexus going into the heart regardless of what ray upon the individual may be found upon. So now we get to number six. The time has not yet come when it is safe for the aspirant of the disciple to relate the head center to the base of the spine in response to a definite and conscious appropriation of Shambhala force. This, of course, is what a number of ambitious students of spirituality seek to do, and they manipulate the outer fires in the attempt to link these centers of personal will and purpose in the head center, personal will in the base of the spine center. And they suffer the consequences because the consciousness is not prepared, nor is the vehicle prepared for this kind of linking. It certainly begins at the third degree and maybe somewhat before, and culminates with the base of the spine center being the major center at the fifth initiation, which is kind of interesting. Because in some people, the personality has disappeared, but at least a Maya Varupa could be created, even by a fourth degree initiate. Or it may be possible through a particular body for a fourth degree initiate to take over from a second degree initiate and undergo certain changes in the energy system in the vehicle of that assisting disciple, which would certainly make a big difference for the assisting disciple once he came back into his own body, wouldn't it? Whatever may take place automatically, normally, and naturally through the development of the disciple can and should be permitted to take place, provided there is no conscious intent and there is also a close and careful scrutiny and control of the personality life, because if one finds oneself getting out of control in any particular measure, one must monitor one's responses to energies which may even be occurring naturally, and to do the decent thing, to restrain those energies which are getting out of control and which are causing difficulty in one's surroundings. We're going on to point seven, the awakening of the Ajna Center. This is, you know, all in the line of the line which brings in the intelligence aspect, the Pleiadian line, we might say. I wonder if he's going to do this for all the others as well. The awakening of the Ajna Center, with the consequent and subsequent conscious control of the throat center, must inevitably take place, provided the disciple fulfills two conditions. And we seem to be saying that the Ajna Center controls the throat center at a certain point of development. So the Ajna Center can relate us to the, not only to the personality, but to the spiritual triad. There's a sense in which there is an alignment between the Ajna and the spiritual triad. Maybe everything switches position, but you kind of wonder, if the Ajna can relate to the spiritual triad, then the head center can relate to the monad. Can the Ajna center relate to the psychism of Bodhi? Possibly. In which case the head center relates to Atma, and the Alta Major center perhaps to the lowest point of the spiritual triad. The different chakras in the human energy system can invoke energy, or let's say evoke energy, from different points at different times in human development. And this seems especially so of the higher centers. We can relate the throat center not only to the concrete mind, but also to the mind of the spiritual triad. The heart center can be related to the buddhi, but it also has some connection with the astral body and certainly with the egoic lotus. But it can be related in a higher sense to the buddhi. The head center can be related to what? To the atmic plane, also to the monadic level, where the number 12 is so active in terms of its major central chakra, the 12-petal lotus within the head, and maybe also eventually to the logoic plane. So it's not like one center, one plane only. Nor is it one chakra and one planet. There is a variety going on here. And one has to know about this variety and when the different aspects of the variety are effective. So creativity is not just a process of the throat center, but especially exists when the visualizing ajna center comes into play, and then the man can be consciously, safely, and correctly creative in line with the plan. His creativity is directed by the plan. And what are these two conditions that will allow the conscious control of the creative throat center by the directing ajna center? What are they? Let's see what he says. A conscious orientation towards the soul and towards the hierarchy. Okay, this is the very theme of disciplic life. And B, a deep love for humanity present and based on mental perception and intuitive understanding and not on emotional reaction. There's so much expressing in humanity which is not particularly lovable, but if one goes into a deeper state and realizes who it is that is expressing personally through ignorance and can find that inner being, as I'm sure that's the great power of the Christ, to find that which is essentially lovable and love in any human being. And maybe the Buddha, as he looks at any human being, can find the part which is essentially wise, love and wisdom together, which doesn't mean that each one of them does not have the other capacity. So if we want to be consciously creative in the hierarchical sense, we have to be oriented towards the hierarchy. Of course, the four of the ajna center, the four divisions, could relate to the four of the buddhic plane on which hierarchy is focused, and to have a deep love of humanity through, because it is the fourth kingdom, and hence the ajna will relate to it. Humanity is meant to be a directing center, actually, of the lower kingdom. So the number four of the ajna center, oftentimes later ruled by the fourth ray of Mercury, which is also humanity's planet, in a strong sense, that will allow a rapport from the ajna to humanity, and then that true creativity can begin. These are profound things the Tibetan is saying here. Really, to me, amazing as I, you know, spend, in a way, more time now to look at the contents of this book and allow the intuition to speak when it can. I sometimes find, you know, using the third ray, one can be in a flow of thought, and the intuition will engage, sometimes better than when one is writing. Of course, it's also possible to say a lot of nonsense, but through that non-critical flow, as there is no time to be entirely critical of everything one says, the intuition, which is spontaneous, may engage and may reveal that which one inwardly knows but did not know that one knows. All this, in a way, via Mercury. Well, we go on still to an eighth point. How many more points are there along this line? only the eight. Where the above conditions are fulfilled, then the impact of the inflowing energies will produce the required stimulation and awakening and will not produce overstimulation and chaos. Ambition frequently accompanies overstimulation. Oh, I meditated for 6 hours in a row, you know, and then I couldn't meditate for a month. It's that kind of thing. So ambition stimulates, accompanies overstimulation so often. Not exclusively and not only. We have to have always that Libran sense of balance. Even if we've decided to give the soul all and everything, the balance is still required because we still have a form and we still have to express through it. So though the soul is the boss and the soul is in charge, as it inevitably becomes under Scorpio, still the Libran balance has to be sustained. DK is now telling us how these higher energies can reach a lower type of expression in our normal life, and of course we are interested in that. We want that to happen because we want that the highest and the lowest shall meet, especially in this seventh ray age. We will find out what is subtly highest, and we will find the proper techniques for relating it without overstimulation and destruction to that within the lowest which can receive it. So the Aquarian age holds many, many wonders, and the it helps to have patience as one moves apparently slowly into that age. Really, though, time does not exist, only apparently so. In other words, eternity breaks the sickle of time. This is all I have to say about the response of the centers in the human being to the activity of the planetary centers under systemic and zodiacal stimulation. He is here summarizing what he's been talking about. Systemic is solar, zodiacal, and planetary centers will affect the centers of the human being. They are much closer to the centers of the human being than are the planetary, solar, and zodiacal and superconstellational levels. But through them, those higher energies are transmitted. I am not here writing a treatise on the individual training of the disciple. Much of that has been done in a treatise on cosmic fire and in the early, a treatise on the on white magic, and in the earlier, some of the earlier books and of psychology in this five-fold treatise. More about the training of the individual is also there. I'm not here writing a treatise on the individual training of the disciple, but I'm attempting to demonstrate the fact of cosmic, zodiacal, systemic, planetary, and human interplay. Notice he really does separate out planetary from systemic. I almost fell into that trap a little bit earlier. The systemic is the solar, in a way, solar systemic. Zodiacal is constellational level, and the cosmic level has to do with still greater constellations. Though, as I say, we cannot necessarily relegate the constellations of the zodiac to a lesser place than certain of the other groupings of stars. We cannot yet do that. I am not here writing a treatise on the individual training of the disciple, but I'm attempting to demonstrate the fact of cosmic, zodiacal, systemic, planetary, and human interplay. Sometimes the word systemic can mean solar and planetary beyond our own planet, because in this case the word planetary may mean our own planetary centers and not the planets out in the solar system, which can be covered by the word systemic. So there's a little bit of ambiguity there, which in its turn constitutes a great and living whole, the life expression of a being of whom we only know that love and the will to good, expressed through the universal mind, are the outstanding characteristics, and these are steadily emerging into increasing radiance. Well, we have a one about whom naught may be said here, one of whose rays is certainly the second. As the Pleiades is the source of cosmic buddhi. What an amazingly variegated universe we live in, even at close hand, because we're only dealing with our very, very tiny local cosmos. We can only imagine. Well, thank goodness time doesn't exist. We're going to get a chance to experience all this. And in fact, I do believe we are experiencing it all now. There's only one being. This is sometimes disrespectfully called pantheism, or that God is everywhere and not only is everywhere, but is everything and knows all. It's the dichotomization of God and his creation that is causing the trouble, but that dichotomization is caused by the dichotomizing, limited human mind, which has not yet broken down the barriers of subject and object. The breaking down of the barriers of subject and object is the main thing to be achieved by those who want to know what God is, in a little sense, and to experience something of the unity which one is. I am the one, I God. I am the form in which all forms are merged. I am the soul in which all souls are fused. I am the life, and in that life all little lives remain. This is that ancient Atlantean chant which has to do with the realizations at the time of the third degree. There are certain third degree mantras here, you know, speaking of Capricorn. These third degree mantras have to do with the five trumpeted words on page 285 of Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2. They have to do with this great Atlantean chant, which he says was part of a ritual which has long since died out, but very effective at the time. And we have the statement, may the holy ones whose pupils we aspire to become show us the light we seek, give us the strong aid of their compassion and their wisdom. There is a peace that passeth understanding, it dwells in the hearts of those who live in the eternal. There is a power that maketh all things new, it lives and moves in those who know the self as one. May that peace brood over us, may that power uplift us, until we stand where the one initiator is invoked, until we see his star shine forth. That is a third initiation stanza as well. Well, DK, you know, there's going to be a need soon for many more masters and many more initiates of the fourth and third degree. So if we feel that we are probationary initiates and any initiate of the first and second degree is a probationary initiate, we should, with all due deliberate speed, move forward into a deeper appreciation of and a deeper intimacy with the living truth of life. We can appreciate as if we are something else, but to identify is already another matter. So we must remove our false identifications with outer limited forms and find our true identification with true being, which essentially we are. All right, so we've thus far discussed the cosmic triangles and their interrelationships and the 18 triangles that can arise within that 18-fold chart we've been studying, and we've discussed planetary triangles, and now we have the triangles and the centers. There are so many and on so many different levels, so DK is gradually descending, as is the occult method, from the general to the particular. It is necessary to remember that all influences which impinge upon the individual or upon humanity as a whole pass through or are transmitted by one or other of the planetary centers. So the planetary centers are involved here, and there are a variety of planetary centers. I've said little about these centers, save to refer to the major three centers, which we call Shambhala Hierarchy and Humanity, and other of the centers are discussed and are finding their way in certain appendices and tabulations. We have here the head, the heart, and the throat center, but we will also need the solar plexus, sacral, base of spine center. In a way, the Ajna center is covered by what we might call the new group of world servers, ruled by Taurus, which also has a strong connection with the Ajna center, since it is usually ruled by Venus. So the other centers are less discussed, and we could look at the back of Esoteric Psychology Volume 1 in the appendix to see how he lists the other centers in the different tabulations. But right now we're focusing on Shambhala Hierarchy and Humanity, and we could recognize them as Shambhala, which has to do with power and purpose. It's the planetary head center, and it is the home of directing will. We can look at the hierarchy of, well, this is interesting, directed. That word, directed, finds its way. I'm going to make these just a little bit smaller, as some of the tabulations don't respond too well to being made large. So let's make this 10. And, yeah, it will be clearer, I suppose. I think so. Right. Now they're clear. Hierarchy expresses the energy of love and wisdom, regardless of whatever ray we may be talking about. It will be the love-wisdom aspect of those rays in the ashram. If we were within the seven great groups within Shambhala, or upon the monadic plane, we might be expressing the power aspect of those rays, whatever the rays may be. So it's the planetary heart center, and we have directed love. So interesting, because the word directed has a lot to do with the Ajna center, which takes whatever energy may be available and focuses it in a directed beam towards its target with humanity. It is the principle of intelligence, and we're not dealing with the throat center here. We're considering the Ajna center to be a higher center than that of the throat. Interestingly enough, there are, 96. There are 16 petals in the throat center, and 6 times 96. No, 6, well, that's another center. 6 times 16 gives us the 96 of the Ajna center. There is a relationship, then, between the number of petals of the Ajna center and those of the throat. 6 sixteens of petals are in the Ajna center, and 1 16 within the throat, or one group of 16 petals in the throat. So directed mind, if we had descended into the throat center, would we have had a directed mind? I'm not sure. Obviously the will is involved here. Let's say, wherever we use the word directed, the will is involved. So the major three centers we've called Shambhala, Hierarchy, and Humanity, and one day, as the planet becomes sacred, even humanity will have to be truly a directing center, directing energies. into the lower four kingdoms, and it is a planetary Ajna center, so we can do that, not just a planetary throat center. In other words, at that time, the majority of human beings will become members of the new group of world servers. After the Great Judgment, everyone will be on the path, and those who are not, through over or under development of the concrete mind, will be sent to another sphere for re-education. I suppose that sphere is the less sacred planet than ours, Mars, eventually. Eventually to Mars, I suspect. And their re-education and their redemption will come. Four other centers remain to be considered: the planetary throat, the solar plexus, sacral, and center at the base of the spine. But there are times when humanity is definitely considered to be the planetary throat center, at least the mass of human beings. But the higher type of human being eventually will be, I think, the planetary Ajna center. We cannot say that there are so many human beings at the moment who can, in a way, direct the mind. I suppose the great majority of people are just beginning to develop the mind in any focused sense, and there are many who are still part of the emotional masses under cancer who have not really developed the mind at all. They're still overwhelmed by their emotional reactions. I guess the hierarchy, looking at humanity, however many billion of us there are, can see who is where and who has developed what. So as I say, I don't know if he's going to say anything more about it here, but in the back of the Esoteric Psychology 1 book, he does deal with the tabulation on the kingdoms, and I suppose in Esoteric Psychology 1 there's a lot about the rays and the kingdoms, so he's simply tabulating what he had discussed in that book. In the planetary logoic life, as is the case also with the individual man, the microcosm of the macrocosm, in this case it looks like the planetary logoic life is a kind of macrocosm, certain centers are more awakened than others and vibrate in unison with systemic impulse more fully than others. Coming, I suppose we would say here, coming from extra planetary sources. In the case of the planetary logos of our little sphere, the head center, the Ajna center, and the heart and solar plexus and the throat center are the five focal points of energy which are most alive and vibrant. Well, what don't we have? We maybe have moved beyond the sacral center. I'm sure that was vibrant at a certain time, let's say in the Lemurian period. But the base of the spine center is not yet active in any more advanced way, and that's because of the status of our planetary logos, who is not yet a cosmic initiate of the second degree, and hence is struggling mightily with astral reactions and with the problem of personality, we are told, even on that very high level. So let's just say the base of the spine, base spine center, not yet active in a higher way, but it will have to be because our planet is a kind of base of the spine center of the solar logos, and the solar logos is going to be achieving initiations in which the function of our Earth as a base of the spine will be needed. So in order to have that kind of function, I think we will have to awaken our own base of the spine, which probably will be occurring somewhere near our cosmic third initiation, or perhaps a little before. The sacral center is slowly dropping below the threshold of the logoic consciousness, whilst the center at the base of the spine is practically entirely quiescent. I mean, it has to be quiescent enough so there is survival. I think in the very beginning, that center is related to survival and has at least to keep the life anchored in matter. So it has something to do with the fourfold vitality. I'm just seeing, though, that, you know, the Ajna is a four, And if we divide 4, can we get that? Let's see. Maybe not. We cannot divide 4 into the Ajna Center's 96, but we can into its 98, which takes the two-leaf door into consideration, the two large petals. But the 4 of the Ajna Center could be directly directed to the fourfold center of the base of the spine, and could be resonant in connection with it, and could determine active in the raising of that kundalini if one knows how to do it and is doing so at the right time. So all these others are vibrant. There was a disciple by the name of BSD, and DK pretty well gave him a reading on his 5 higher centers. He didn't include the sacral and base of the spine center. And it's a bit like looking at the earth. In this man's case, you know, the head center was like 15% awakened, or the edge, no, 40%, and the Ajna Center about 15%, and the solar plexus about, what was it, 75%. Let's just see. I had that kind of in my mind, but let's just see if we can. 40%. There's a couple of places where that might be found, and oh, let's see. No, we're not going to find that looking at it in that way. 40, and then percent. I say to be 2 places, but no, it's not. Well, if we would look under BSD, who was the first of the disciple, we would see the, I think one of them was awakened to a degree of 75%. Let me try 75%. I'm a little bit, there's also 2 here. And talks to disciples. Let's see if we can find that. No, that's just the page number. Oh, here it is. Oh, sure enough. Head center, 40%, Ajna 15, throat 60. That, it's interesting, it corresponds with his rays, because he was, after all, a third-ray soul with a third-ray physical body. So there was throat stimulation. Solar plexus stimulation, yes, because he was a 6-ray personality, and he had also a 6-ray astral body. Heart center, I think he was a 2nd-ray monad, I gather that, if you study with DK for any length of time. 50% awakened. But the Ajna Center was the one that had to be awakened. Well, we can see that not all centers are equally awakened, and thus it is on our planet as well. Right. So, in which the sacral center is slowly dropping below the threshold. Now, DK, for that man, he did not include the sacral, which was not an issue to be discussed, presumed to be dropping away below the threshold. And the base of the spine was probably not yet in any condition to be discussed, because it was probably quiescent. So the base of the spine is practically entirely quiescent on our planet, we're saying at this present time, being a non-sacred planet, except in connection with its pranic effects upon the form life, engendering the will to live, the urge to survival, and the vitalization of the forms. As I said, it's the, interestingly enough, it's the sacral center which is connected with the physical form, and the base of the spine is connected with the 4 ethers, it having a fourfold structure itself. There's a reversal there in the structure of the human being. So the awakening of the kundalini is very much an etheric matter. It's not a dense physical matter, and that's where the base of the spine becomes involved. One would think, you know, particularly at the 4th initiation and beyond, where the number 4 is so prominent, and at the 5th initiation it is the center. These facts will give you an idea of how our planetary status in the great family of the central sun, our soul, our Helios, and indicate why our planet is not a sacred planet. No planet is a sacred planet unless the center at the base of the spine, speaking symbolically, is aroused and the great fusion of energies resulting therefrom has been effected. Now, this is interesting. We're told that we are a sacred planet interiorly, and in a lesser series of initiations, page 384 of Cosmic Fire, we are passing through a kind of fourth initiation. But it is the fifth initiation at which the center of purpose in the head and the center of individual personal will at the base of the spine are united. So in this lesser series of initiations, not necessarily the great cosmic initiations, it may be these that determine whether a planet is a sacred planet or not. Because unless that fusion of energies from the base of the spine has reached the top of the head, or fused with the top of the head, which happens really at the fifth degree, there is no sacredness. Sacredness is not the third degree. I guess we have passed through that kind of lesser third degree, though not a greater third degree in a cosmic sense. So how this lesser series of initiations relates to the cosmic series, this has yet to be determined, at least by me or by some of the people I know, and the way they might be superimposed on each other has also to be determined. For instance, there might be an initiation, let's say the second cosmic, which is occurring at the same time as the fifth lesser, something like that. I'm not saying it is so, but there could be a superimposition of lower cosmic initiations on some of the higher initiations of the second order. That's a sidetrack. But anyway, our planet does not have the base of the spine aroused. It has not taken the cosmic second, and it is only now taking the lesser fourth, and is not yet taking the lesser fifth, where presumably the base of the spine would fuse with the top of the head. I refer to this particular world cycle and period and to the state of affairs in this fifth or Aryan root race. Now, when will our planet move on and become still something more? And I suppose the judgment day in the fifth round, probably of our particular chain, is when there will be an advancement towards a new initiatory status beyond the fourth degree. Presumably in this fourth chain and in this fourth round and on this fourth globe, we can pass something of the fourth degree, which involves the planetary heart, which is the center active at the fourth initiation. That's what we are passing through now, but it's pretty clear that Venus has passed through the fifth of these lesser initiations. I refer to this particular world cycle and period and to the state of affairs in this fifth or Aryan root race. It's not a very long time. The Aryan root race has been operating for about 1 million years for sure, and some incipient beginnings may have occurred a few million years before that. How much longer it will last, I do not know, but we're told that the sixth root race, which is imminent, when will it come in? Maybe another couple thousand years, but in any case, it's already on its way, and it will last 10 million years. I don't see the Aryan race lasting 10 million years. So there are differences in durations of the various root races. Students of my books and of the Secret Doctrine must remember that any contradictions which may appear are only contradictions in time. And that when the time factor is properly understood and the student knows to what specific cycle the information should be applied, that these apparent inexactitudes will disappear. Like, for instance, we're told that Venus is related to the Logoic Heart Center. Well, reasoning tells us that really Jupiter is particularly the Logoic Heart Chakra, and that Venus is more in the lower quaternary of the solar logos and cannot be, therefore, the heart center unless one counts the heart in the lower quaternary, which is also a possibility. But there seems to be every suggestion that Venus is really a solar plexus and has a sixth ray monad to facilitate that. But one day, the second ray, ultimate monad of Venus, will come into activity, and then it will be, at that time, it will be in greater position to move into a heart center rulership, and perhaps Jupiter will have moved up to the heart within the head, and perhaps Neptune will have moved on altogether. The synthesizing planets are such now, and they will not always be such, but just like in any good organization, those who do well in the lower ranks can rise into the function of the higher ranks. It all depends on the cycle. Now, the same may have to do with Earth. What is Earth at the present time? Is it a kundalini planet? Is it the base of the spine at the present time? It certainly will be. In earlier cycles, has it played a different role, perhaps a splenic role? It is much associated with etheric vitality. So what any being is in relationship to other beings changes according to time cycles. So we should gather a list of the apparent contradictions or apparent inexactitudes and see if the mystery of cycles, as much as we can fathom it, will sort the matter out. This, of course, will lie ahead at the time of the new esoteric schools when they actually have the time and leisure to do that. Right now we're in such a stressed condition, globally, fighting for the life of spirituality in a way, although materialism is said to be dead with the discovery of atomic energy and the release of atomic energy. We don't have that kind of time and attention and support to be able to do those things in a wider way and in a way which is promoted and protected by society at large, as we learn is a state which is coming when the masters and their disciples will be highly respected and their opinion sought in every one of the five planetary centers, maybe in other places as well. We're not there yet. I mean, you know, for people in general, occultism doesn't exist. The masters of the wisdom are fictions. They're used to the presentation, the glamorous presentation in some of the groups that have distorted what they are out of all recognition. And all of this discipleship business and spiritual approach is considered to be fanciful and impractical and even dangerous if you ask certain religious adherents. So then that time lies ahead. And but it will come. And we have to seed the soil of human consciousness, of the human mind now, with these kinds of thoughts, which when developed will lead to an entirely different perspective about the nature of the life we are living and our role within it. What is true of humanity, for instance, during the third root race may not be true during the fifth root race. So the configuration changes, the triangles revolve. The high become low and the low become high. Different points of the triangle come into power and others which were in power subside. Different chakras in the human being arise and give their perspectives to consciousness, and later still other chakras arise and promote a wider point of view. So everything has to be interpreted in terms of time. And I suppose space and location are important as well. The ability to receive certain energies in certain spaces. So it may not be true in the fifth root race. Therefore, all that can be done is to study and relate, to reflect and to apply the law of analogy. knowing that when the expanded and more inclusive consciousness of the trained initiate takes the place of the present human awareness, then these debated points will be clarified, because it's all a question of the way different scopes of consciousness view the same factors. As DK has often said, when you look out at the starry sky, the average man thinks one thing, the scientist thinks another, the aspirant disciple thinks another, and the initiate knows something entirely different. Yet the stimulus is there, it's the starry skies, but the level of consciousness and the understanding of meaning is quite different depending upon the level of perception of the one viewing, and understanding, perception and understanding of the one viewing the starry skies. These debated points will assume a true consistency, and the contradictions will disappear. Meanwhile, we have to live with this cognitive dissonance, which can sometimes be distressing. You know, we have to say that there are so many things we just don't know. We may have an idea of how it works. It may be a theory. It may be reasonable. It may be even somewhat resonant with the intuition, but pieces are missing, and we cannot confirm for sure. So we live, and then there are the blatant contradictions. I was just pointing out one that appears to be a contradiction, that the human being will be coming under the influence of Venus in the first decanate if he's a disciple, on the reverse wheel, when DK says elsewhere in the book exactly the opposite. But I tried to get around that, talking about the general and pervasive influence of Venus in discipleship humanity and the general pervasive influence of Saturn in humanity, which is on the path of discipleship, quite irrespective of what decanate one may be entering through. Average man more through the 30 to 20 area, which is the third decanate, and hence Venus will be the ruler, and disciplic man entering through the 0 to 10, the first decanate, so Saturn will be the ruler. But a contradiction appeared to appear. What does one do about that? You know, except to think it out, do the relating, hold the dissonance, try to live through that dissonance, just bear the pain of not knowing. DK assures us there's also a pain of knowing. And can we stand the strain of knowing? So sometimes the pain of knowing, or the strain of knowing, may be the worse than the pain or strain of not knowing. Many secrets are withheld from us because we could not handle them properly. We simply have to trust our superiors in that matter. They know what can be released to us safely, not only for us, but for those we might contact. They know whether we would be capable of concealing mysteries of initiation, and we do not know as much and seem to want more and more knowledge. At least many students of esotericism that I know want more and more knowledge, but only so much is really usable. Okay, the planetary center, which corresponds to the one at the base of the spine in the human being, will not be awakened until the seventh root race. Now, is that seventh root race on our particular round? Maybe so. Because in a funny sort of way, we're in a, how would I show this? I'd have to go over here, and I'd have to go over here. I better make a shortcut, don't you think? Fellowship of Cosmic Fire and the AAB diagrams, and we'll just go in at any point on preview. And when we look at the Earth chain, here it is, we're in the fourth chain, and in some ways it looks like the lowest chain, the way it is depicted for us. It may have a correspondence with the heart, which is the fourth chakra, but also its low position shows it may have a correspondence with the base of the spine. So perhaps even in our seventh root race in this round, there will be an awakening of the base of the spine in our particular planet. Not necessarily full awakening, because the full awakening would correspond to the fifth cosmic initiation. And we haven't even taken the second, although it may be required for us to take the fourth or the fifth to assist our solar logos to take his fourth or fifth, because there will be a kundalini function there. And if we are a solar logoic base of the spine, we'll have to play our role. But then we know that initiatory progress occurs more rapidly. As we reach the higher initiations, things can be very fast from the second degree on. So we may have been in this condition, we Earth beings, for a long time. And once we reach the second cosmic initiation, things may proceed more rapidly, so that we will be in a position to fulfill our solar logoic function when our solar logos is in a position to take the fourth or fifth cosmic initiation in his series of cosmic initiations. I think there is planetary logoic development and there is solar logoic development. They have their own types of cosmic initiations. I don't think they overlap. I don't think so. If it says that man takes his first cosmic initiation at the fifth degree, I don't think his second cosmic initiation is that of a planetary logos. It's a Sirian initiation, the fifth degree, and Sirius is a cosmic player. But many Mahakalpas or Mahamanvantaras seem to separate a planetary logos from a human logos. And there would be no way for the human being to make such rapid progress that he would switch on to the line of cosmic initiations that the planetary logos is taking. And I don't think there's a way for the planetary logoi taking their particular cosmic initiations to switch on to the line of cosmic initiations taken by the solar logos. In other words, in our next solar system, when the solar logos is undergoing his fifth or sixth cosmic initiation, there will still be planets, and they will still be chakras or representations of chakras in the solar logos, and they will be undergoing their own series of cosmic initiations, which may correspond in number to those of the solar logos, but will not be of the same order. At least this is my present theory or speculation. So perhaps this base of the spine center in our planet, is it in our globe lord, in our chain lord? Is it the entire planet in our scheme lord? These are further refinements necessary for real knowledge about this. Will not be awakened until the seventh root race, let's say, of our particular fourth round. And that only when right relationship is established between the planetary sacral center, which is related to the third kingdom of nature, the animal kingdom, and the planetary throat center, which he doesn't give us any relation for, but I think it is more properly the human kingdom and not the new group of world service part of the human kingdom. The Deva kingdom has sometimes been called the planetary sacral center, so we have to determine whether this sacral center, planetary sacral center, the Deva kingdom, and the animal kingdom have somehow to be better and properly related. The animal kingdom may have more to do with the solar plexus, although in its higher ranks it is verging toward intelligence and the throat center. What I think I'm going to do, you know, I tried to avoid doing it, but if I go here to Esoteric Psychology 1 and say sacral center, how about spelling correctly? There are 14 of these, and I wonder, okay, if I use the word deva and sacral together, sacral kingdom. Well, let's see. Well, here it is. That was quick. Page 222, and this is only one tabulation. So there's the relation of the seven centers to the various kingdoms in nature can here be seen, and the symbolism of the human form can be noted. The seven kingdoms as a whole can be seen. Mineral kingdom, base of the spine, adrenals, vegetable kingdom, heart center. Animal kingdom, solar plexus, pancreas. Vegetable kingdom rather higher in a way than the animal kingdom. Interestingly, human kingdom, sacral center, and that is very different. Egoic kingdom, throat, very, very different. Let's just see if we go above here. If we find anything. Maybe one more. And one more. And there are no more. So let's just look up the word Deva kingdom. And there's only one. And I'm not sure we're going to find it. So we would have to look at the end of the book, you know, somewhere here around 420. And I hate to waste time in a way doing this, but these are the tabulations about which I am speaking. And we are given the relationship of the kingdoms, but not so much the centers. It occurs perhaps a little bit earlier, and he definitely does talk about it here, you know. Okay. Well, wouldn't you know it, I've gone on such a big hunt for the place of the Devas in relation to the sacral center, but it's right here in this book. And the assignment is very interesting in esoteric astrology. The head center, Shambhala, of course, heart center, hierarchy. We'll go through this. Ajna center, humanity, as given. Throat center, animal. Well, they are developing the intelligence, but they are certainly not expressing as the human beings do. Solar plexus is now the vegetable rather than the heart, and the sacral center, the Deva evolution. And the base of the spine kingdom, base of the spine, the mineral kingdom. So we have a place for four kingdoms, including the human kingdom, and one kingdom which is to the side, in a way, the Deva evolution, and not kingdom. That's what I should have found. But as you saw, there were different assignments, and the human being was even connected with the sacral center, probably because in that center the mental elemental, lower mental elemental is found, and the vegetable kingdom with the heart. So DK says, well, these things, these discrepancies will disappear when the time cycles are understood. But if we were to take these factors together, how interesting they would be, you know. This is here on page whatever of Esoteric Astrology, and I'm sure we'll be coming to it pretty soon. Page 455 of Esoteric Astrology. But if we look at Esoteric Psychology, right around the place where I was going before, we do see that the kingdoms are described, yes. And if we can find vegetable and the heart, it's really interesting. So there are different vegetable, the heart center and the thymus gland. Mineral base of the spine makes some sense. Animal solar plexus makes a lot of sense. But the human being suddenly in the sacral center, that's a great reversal. So we have to look at these different perspectives. The planetary kingdom, the egoic kingdom, is the throat center, I suppose, with the planetary logos, and the planetary kingdom, connected with the sixth center and the kingdom of planetary lives, related to the sixth initiation and the solar kingdom of such beings as Sanat Kumara and the Buddhas of activity and so forth, are really solar lives, and they are related to the head center. So there is some, as he says, some sets of correspondences. Here's another one which makes things look a little more familiar, but not entirely so. The mineral kingdom and the sacral center and the base of the spine, I wonder. Vegetable, the heart and lungs, animal, the stomach, but human, the brain. Well, various centers are given here. The rays of the kingdoms make a lot of sense. Animal kingdom, devotion, and growing intelligence, of course. And some of the fifth ray, I would say, must be coming in as it moves towards individualization, which is so ruled by the fifth ray. The different ray influences of the different kingdoms. It's hard in this system of relativity to say thus it is with a set concrete mind and thus it will always be, because there's constant mutation. I suppose there's some kind of law we might call the law of cyclic mutation. Everything is in motion, but it is logical motion and according to a design and a purpose. But we are bewildered as to the times and the changes. So, this idea of the base of the spine center of the human being being awakened, well, there's a lot of correlation with the mineral kingdom. And will there be changes in the mineral kingdom at the seventh root race, which will be momentous in connection with the awakening of the base of the spine? And will our earth in some way take another step by the time we reach the seventh root race? Really more, I'm expecting another step when we either reach the fifth chain, or when we reach the fifth round of our present chain. Then I think there's a good possibility that the so-called judgment day will occur, but that's still some millions of years ahead. Well, all this bewildering complexity that we are confronting at the outset here is not bewildering complexity to Master DK and masters of his type. This is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 119B, and we, yeah, all the things that I was looking for are coming. So I went on a futile search here. This is page 454. We're making some progress. And we will continue when it becomes possible, perhaps tomorrow, beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 120A, also page 454. What DK is going to do is going to show the intricate interrelationship, triangular interrelationship, with many, between many different levels of entity. And somehow we have to correlate all this, and these factors must not remain as isolated items of knowledge, must be seen in the pattern. The second ray will help us with this because it is the ray of the divine pattern. And through a sudden intuitive grasp, we can see the picture whole. Mercury prepares the way, and Uranus puts the finishing touches on that which is prepared and reveals to us, through pure reason, the archetypal pattern which is intended by the divine purpose. Meanwhile, some very interesting items of information are arising here for us, and it is our task to make sure that they are related in a Mercurian manner and do not remain isolated. I found this one very important, that no planet is a sacred planet until the base of the spine center at the base of the spine, speaking symbolically, whatever that is for planetary logos, is aroused, and the great fusion of energies resulting therefrom has been effected. That is real sacredness. Now, if Venus is a sacred planet, it has to do with the fact that for Venus, this has occurred in relation to the lesser series of initiations. Venus may be a cosmic initiative of the third degree in the planetary series, but I don't know how much farther than that it has gone. The Earth is a twin sister, should be where Venus is, and has not even taken the second cosmic initiation. Probably the synthesizing planets have already taken, in their series of initiations, lesser initiations of the fourth or fifth degree. How far are they in cosmic initiations? That remains to be seen. This would be more proper to the study of great Dayan Chohans, who have to deal with solar systemic relationships, where we're just right here on this planet dealing with human interrelationships. Seems quite enough for us to handle. But the mind goes out there to see whether analogically it is possible for us to derive something which will relate the heavens more closely to our own process and our own process more closely to the heavenly process. Well, I've gone on a bit more than the 2 hours I wanted to allow for this program. So we'll be going on with I don't want that, do I? We'll be going on with Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 120, and we'll be taking up information relating to the planetary centers and the rays of energy pouring through them. Meanwhile, there's a lot to digest. Sometimes I get a little stymied, you know. I look at this and the contradictions appear to me, and I try then with what powers I have to reconcile those contradictions. It's not always possible. Sometimes I just let those contradictions sit in mental, intuitive space, hoping that the time will come when some little crystal of illumination will drop in and congeal the field in a way which is archetypally reasonable, according to pure reason. I've got a few of those hanging around, waiting for the moment of a reconfiguration in the light of the intuition. All right. Thank you, everybody, for attending, and we'll see you before long, continuing with our work. We only have another 240-some pages to go in this book. We've covered, in a sense, almost two-thirds of it, but this is a more difficult section of the book. So keep your correlative hats on, your correlating abilities sharp, and we'll try to link things up so that the picture of their true relation suddenly appears to us one day with Uranian simultaneity. See you soon. Bye-bye.